join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with a change of plans.
I started teaching a few weeks back. So we're going back into it. I'll review to catch you up. But the subject of this teaching is a change of plans. A change of plans. And so if there's anything that we've learned in the midst of this pandemic is that plans change. Everything's changed. I wish somebody from Hollywood, the major producers and networks would listen to me right now. I am so tired of seeing people with masks and seeing people living in the pandemic and all that on TV. TV is supposed to take us away. It's supposed to be like Calgon. We already living through the pandemic. We living through the mask. We living through the bad news. I wish they would act on TV like we're not in a pandemic. Give us a vision of being out of this thing. Anybody agree with me on that? I'm so sick of y'all know when you watch people on TV, y'all want to see them in a mask. I want to see their whole face. Okay. I wish Hollywood would get this story. But even we see how Hollywood had to pivot. We see, and the word we've been using is pivot, which means a quick change, a quick move. But if anything we've learned in this pandemic is that plans change. Is that things change. And so the object of this lesson is to help us understand that we need to be flexible before God. We need to allow God to change our plans. I know you plan on doing this, you plan on doing that. I mentioned that last year, Pastor Marcia and I, this year we'll be married 36 years, June 1st. But last year, our anniversary, our 35th anniversary, we were supposed to go to Barcelona, Spain. And because of the pandemic, plans had to change. They gave me a voucher, okay, and I went and looked at it yesterday. They said I can now extending that voucher now up to 2023, I believe. So that gives us time. But plans change. And so we have to be willing to allow God to change our plans. So let's look at the scripture here. What we've used as a background scripture for this concept and this lesson of change of plans is Acts 16, verse 6 and 7, and then 9 and 10, which is most relevant. Acts 16 and 6, it says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Imagine that. Imagine you're trying to do something good and God don't allow you to do it. You know, when the Lord, for years, some of you, if you heard my story, I had bad credit for many, many years. And I had to dig myself out of that. Where's that book I keep in front of me? And this book helped me do it many years ago. It's not a Christian book. It's just a finance book. This book here, Life After Debt. It's an old book. It was written in the early 2000s, I believe. By Benjamin Dover, about how to get your credit together, how to get your life back after you've messed up financially, life after debt. And I learned the principles in this book, and I did all those things. I wrote the credit list, and I got my credit up, and and now I could finance. There was a time where I couldn't apply for anything. I couldn't apply for a piece of bubble gum. Everything won't be denied. Everything will be rejected. And now my credit has gotten to a place that now I could finance things. It would be approved, and the Lord wouldn't let me finance anything. Now the credit could be granted, but the Lord told me, don't you finance anything. God had me in that season of my life. He had me saying, if you don't have the money for it, and if I don't provide it, don't you charge anything. Don't get credit for anything. And at that time, that included cars. And I'm like, but God was trying to teach me something. Number one, he was trying to teach me to depend upon him. And he was also teaching me discipline to manage credit. In other words, just because you have it, you don't have to use it. Just because you got a $10,000 credit limit on a credit card, it don't mean that the limit is always supposed to be at $10,000 or $9,999 for that matter. Tomorrow, to max it out, you might as well. You used up 90% of the credit limit. And so God would teach me discipline. And so it's something that when God starts forbidding you to do things, it says forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Forbidden by the Holy Ghost is not the same as being forbidden by the police. Forbidden by the Holy Ghost is not the same as being forbidden by your parents. Forbidden by the Holy Ghost means the Holy Ghost is speaking to you and expects you to obey. It's not about physically forcing you or physically restraining you. It's about allowing God to call the shots in your life, allowing God to say in and out. It says forbidden by the Holy Ghost. Now, that didn't mean that the Holy Ghost was putting up barriers and stopping them and causing the boat not to work and causing them to lose their oars or causing it. No, it meant God was speaking and said, don't you do that. Does God have that right to speak to you and say, yeah, I know you want to go, but don't go. Like I was when I bought those tickets. I'm going to go to the Beyonce concert. I'm going to take my daughter right here to when she came here to Columbia, South Carolina at William Bryce Stadium where the Gamecocks play. And I bought those tickets and I was all excited. I'm going to see Beyonce and Jay-Z. And I could always say I was there to let my light shine. You're supposed to go in dark places, let your light shine. And the Lord said, you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going. I don't know. No. Yeah, I'm going. I spent like over $300, $400 for these tickets to be down close. I'm going. The Lord said, no, you ain't going. Now, he didn't physically restrict me. Okay. He didn't cause my car not to operate. He didn't cause a flat tire to happen. Come on. Does God have to go through all that kind of drama in order to get you not to do something? People always say stuff like, God trying to tell you something. God trying to, why the car got to flip over for him to say something to you? Why do you have to lose all your money before God? You realize God's trying to tell you something. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit, not driven by circumstances, but led by the Spirit. You need to allow God to lead you by his Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. They're the real mature ones, the ones who allow God to lead them, not the one who God has to put all kind of barriers. Pastor Dollar used to preach years ago about spiritual bumpers. And a God got to bump you. He'll bump you this side of the road and bump you that side of the road to try to keep you in the middle. Well, the truth of the matter is, if we would just listen to God, we wouldn't have to go through all that drama. Sometimes all the drama we go through is simply because we're not allowing God to lead us. They were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word. Preaching the word is a good thing, but God said, I don't want you to do it right now, and I don't want you to do it here in this place. Now, we don't even understand why, but if God tells us to do something, we don't have to know why. We just need to know God said. Amen. Sometimes we'll understand it better by and by. We'll know later. We follow on to know. Then it goes on to say, Acts 16:7, after they would come to Mysia, they essayed or tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Holy Ghost forbid them, and the Holy Spirit, wouldn't let them go do it. And again, so God keeps telling, they're trying to do one thing, but God says something. When Jesus say, yeah, nobody can say no. How about when Jesus say no? Will you keep saying yes? But sometimes he may say no. Then verse 9 So they're like, okay, we can't go here. We can't go there. Well, where are we supposed to go? Every time we go to do something, God's changing our plans. Verse 9, and what happens next is a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, begged him, beseeched him, asked him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So they're trying to go to Galatia and trying to go to Phrygia. They're trying to go to Mysia, and the Spirit wouldn't let them. But now Paul has a vision. And in the vision, a man saying from Macedonia, come over here to help us. Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. After he saw the vision, he had to share that with the rest of his team. Now, let me explain this to all of you who are under a man of God, under a woman of God, follow a bishop, has a pastor, an apostle, whatever, somebody who you're submitted to. You're not going to always see the vision. Okay, the eyes are in the head. Where are your eyes? Your eyes are in the head. The head is the one who is supposed to be making the decision for this organization, for the family. Okay, and you don't always see what they see. The eyes are in the head. Now, Paul is the head of this missionary team. Paul is the head of this missionary team. Paul is the visionary of this team. And after he saw the vision, the 10th verse said, everybody didn't see the vision. Paul saw the vision. And so Paul now has to communicate the vision to them, but them knowing that they're submitted to Paul, them knowing that Paul is their leader, and Paul even says, follow me as I follow Christ, immediately after he saw the vision, shared the vision with them, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. That means endeavor means we put the pedal to the metal. We gather all our stuff. We girded up our mind. We are going to Macedonia. There wasn't nobody saying, well, why are we going to Macedonia? But maybe we ain't supposed to be going there either. I don't know why we going to Macedonia. What we got to do in Macedonia? In Macedonia, I thought we were going to Mysia. I thought we were going to Phrygia. I thought we were going to Galatia. How all of a sudden now are we going to Macedonia? Because Paul saw the vision. Immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. Assuredly gathered. Having no doubt that our man of God saw this vision, and now we are doing what God wants us to do. Surely gathering that the Lord called us to preach the gospel unto them. And so what this is about is allowing God to direct your steps, because the steps of a good man, according to Psalm 37:23, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And that verse from New Living Translation says that God delights in every detail of their lives. Do you allow God to get involved in the details of your life, or do you compartmentalize your life? Do you have, you know, all of us got rooms, and truth of the matter is here. I know this looks real nice, but this is my, this where I'm teaching from now. This is my office / my closet. Okay. Right now you're seeing the office part of it. The closet part of it don't look too good. Look all right to me, but Pastor Mark Case, he said, when you need to clean this up. You need to put it up. Okay. Nobody comes in here in this room but me. If you came to my house, I gave you two of my house, I'd probably show you every room except this one right now. Do you have rooms in your life that you don't allow God to go in because it's too messy? That's good right there. No. All right, Jesus. I want you in that. You can't come in that area of my life. It's too messy. Watch this. And I don't want to clean it up right now. I know in order for you to get involved in that aspect of my life, I'm going to have to clean something up. And I'm kind of comfortable with it being messed up right now. I'm comfortable with it being untidy. I'm comfortable with it not pleasing you. Do we do that? Or do we allow God to get involved in Psalms 37:23, New Living Translation, allow God to delight in every detail of our lives. That's what God wants. He wants to direct our steps, because sometimes our plans are just that. They're our plans. Well, I got a plan. I'm planning on doing this. I'm planning on going there. Our plans are just our plans. Proverbs 19:21, I'm still reviewing right now. Many of the plans in a man's mind, but it's the Lord's purposes that will stand. That's the Amplified. We got many plans in our mind, but it's the Lord's purpose that's going to stand. It's the Lord's purpose that's going to bring happiness. It's the Lord's purpose. It's God's plan that's going to bring peace. Amen. So I started asking questions. Are you flexible enough to allow God to change your plans? In order to be flexible enough to allow God to change our plans, I said we got to do three things. Number one, you must communicate with the Father. Communicate with the Father. In other words, pray before you plan. Pray before you plan. If you will pray before you plan, then we won't have to, you won't be embarrassed. If you will pray before you put that deposit down on something that maybe God didn't tell you to buy, you won't risk losing the deposit. If you would pray, oh, how about this? I like this. Just came to me. Pray before you pay. Somebody put that in the comments there. Pray before you pay. Sometimes we paying for stuff. We didn't put on deposits on stuff. We say, and then God says, no, change the plans. I want you to do that with that money, or it doesn't go through. In some cases, we lose money or we make bad decisions. We need to pray before you pay. Pray before you buy. Pray before you invest. Pray before you plan. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't keep telling me everything you're going to do. He said, you don't know what the day may bring forth. And James 4:13-16. And the New Living Translation, it says this, James 4:13-16. It says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go to a certain town. We're going to stay there for a year. We will do business there, and then we're going to make a profit. He said, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans. And all such boasting is evil. So God wants us to be barefooted priests before him. A barefooted priest, that simply means spiritual way of saying, God, I'm here to please you. I'll do, and we say it, but do we really live like that? You know, and it sounds good when preachers are hooping in church and we saying stuff in church. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. Really? That sounds good in church. You know, one of the things people understand that makes a marriage work, you know, even though Pastor Marshall and I've been married for 35 years, you know, so my goal now, my image now for marriage ain't 35 years. My image now is seeing those folks who've been married 50 years and 60 years. And God spares them to live, okay? Because then people wonder, well, how do you keep the love? How do you keep the love in there? How do you keep the love hot? How do you keep it hot? And is it your sex life? Is it pills? Is it what you do? No. No, it's the number one thing is commitment. It's commitment. Because if you have the commitment, you make yourself love. If you got the commitment, you'll do what you need to do. So we always tell people it's commitment that drives marriage. And then I heard a really good definition of commitment. Commitment is doing what you said you would do, even when you no longer feel the way you felt when you said you would do it. Because sometimes we make commitments out of emotion. I love you. I'll do this. You know, first thing when I do premarital counseling now, I got this lesson I developed about what a vow is. Because we made vows. And the reason why people are supposed to be there, and you don't have to have doing South Carolina, but when I got married in New Jersey, even your marriage license has not only signed by the man and the woman and by the preacher or the officiant of the ceremony, had to be signed also by witnesses. Witnesses say, uh-huh, I heard them say it. Witnesses, yep, they said that. They vowed that. And so, you know, we do marriage, we tell people, you're making these vows before us as the officiants. You're making these vows before God, and you're making vows before these people. Vows mean you said what you said, and I heard you say it. And so to take Commitment requires you to be faithful to what you said, even when you don't feel like you felt when you said it. Very few people are committed like that. I don't know what I was thinking, whatever. And the Bible says it's better not make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. That's not just about finance. It's not just about money. It's not just about marriage. It's about everything. Okay. And so we need to pray even before you commit. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then you seek the Lord God. Say, no, you ain't doing that. So we need to pray and allow God to be involved in details of our life. I'm doing too much review here. Number two, we said if you're gonna live by the flexibility to allow God to change your plan, don't let other people's crisis drive your schedule. We in Mark the first chapter, and I think I was reading this week also Luke the fourth chapter records the same thing. Jesus was in a particular city. He healed all these people. They was around. They was waiting for him, and the next day they still waiting for him. There's more people for him to lay hands and pray for. But after Jesus got up and prayed, the Lord directed him to go someplace else. And so in Mark 1:37-38, it says, Simon Peter, and they were looking for Jesus, said, and when they found him, they said to him, Lord, all men seek you. Everybody needs you. But Jesus said, let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Know what Jesus is saying here? They don't drive my schedule. Other people's needs don't determine my schedule. I got to do what God tells me to do. Everybody's crisis cannot become your priority. And you're going to live frustrated. You're going to live being mad with folks if you let people allow yourself to make other people's priority your priority when you are merely an option to them. Don't make people a priority when you are merely an option to them. Okay, they'll do it for you if they can, if they feel like it, if they don't have anything else to do, and you making them a priority. I had to learn that as a pastor. People said, well, he treat them different. Well, you don't. Sometimes people, this because how they treat me different. Okay. There's certain things you do for everybody and certain things you do out of relationship, out of commitment. Because every relationship, y'all, should be a relationship of reciprocity. Reciprocity is give and take. I quote a reciprocity scripture, Luke 6:38. If you give what? It shall be given unto you. Okay, if you give, it shall be given unto you. And so sometimes you're tired, you made everybody else a priority, and you're merely an option, and you let everybody else's crisis become your crisis. And you need to allow yourself to be led by the Spirit of God. Number three, we said you need to be flexible. You got to be willing to move and change and turn as God says. You need fluidity and pivotity. I'm a doctor. Y'all know false bishop of doctorate. Doctors make up words. You need fluidity and pivotity. Fluidity and pivotity. Fluidity being fluid. Okay. You know, when something, I got some coke in this here. Okay. As I turn, the water moves with it, being fluid. And then the word pivotity, that's from the key word of 2020, pivot. You got to be able to pivot. You got to be able to turn. Okay, you got to be able to turn. You know, to be a good basketball player, you got to pivot. You're going down with the ball. I know you plan on going, but there's a blocker there. You got to go around them, and so you got to have fluidity and pivotity. That's my word, fluidity and pivotity. I know I planned on doing that, but I got to be fluid with the Spirit of God. And God pivot as he tells me to pivot. Okay, let me move on. Too much review. So why does God change plans? Here's the part of the lesson I really want to get to today. Why does God change plans? Because if you don't understand this here, there's things that we say, the songs that we have sung in the church over the years that makes us think sometimes that God doesn't change plans. And that's not true. The Bible says, even regarding creation, when God sent the flood, it said it repented God that he had created man. Wow. That when you look at that up in other translations, it repented God that he had created man. Because all the thoughts of man were continually evil. Wasn't even having a good thought. Were continually evil. And God said he would send a flood and destroy mankind. and he took out a remnant, and that was Noah and his family. But why? So when you look up, it says it repented God. Other translation says that God regretted. God regretted. Can I tell you, whenever God regrets, it's nothing. It's not because, man, he realized, man, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. God, the only person that can make God regret is us, our activities. Now, yeah, I know this is a little deep concept. You can make God regret blessing you. I know that. I can show you in scripture. I'll make that's a whole nother lesson. You can make God regret choosing you. But doesn't he know everything? Yes, he knows everything's going to happen. He knows our will, and he still gives us a free will. He knows our will, and he still gives us a free will. So why does God change plans? Number one, God changes plans for purpose. Purpose. Miles Monroe, Dr. Miles Monroe, went to be the Lord several years ago. But Miles Monroe, who wrote and preached and talked a lot about purpose, he said this, gave this definition of purpose many years ago. He said, purpose is that which the creator of a thing had in mind when he created it. That's how we get. Purpose is that which the creator of a thing had in mind when he created it. Let me see if I can say it again. Purpose is that which the creator of a thing had in mind when he created it. So God sometimes changed plans because we're pursuing our purpose, but it wasn't his purpose. We're pursuing what's on our mind, but it's not necessarily what's on his mind. And so God sometimes changes things. Now look at, we all quote this, Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, which all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to what? To his purpose.
If there is anything we've learned in the last year, it's just that plans change. Sometimes our plans are just that, our plans. They're not God's plans for us. Do you allow God to change your plans? In this teaching, be encouraged to be open to God, changing your plans so that he can order your steps and direct your life. To order, just call 877-798-5433. Or go to www.rightdirection.info and ask for a change of plans.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.